Heavenly Father, we thank you for our Pastor Joseph. Thank you for the message you have given to him to deliver to us. And we just pray for your Holy Spirit anointing upon him, upon his lips, Lord. You know, English is not his first language, but in his weakness, Lord, may you demonstrate your power. And also, Lord, we pray that your word shall go forth and accomplish your purpose, and you shall not return unto you void. We pray for everyone here, Lord. May you prepare our hearts to worship you in spirit and in truth. May you remove every hindrances and obstacles that the evil one has placed in our path to block us from hearing from you. Spirit of God, we need a word from you today. Come and encourage us and lift us up. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning. So happy to see all of you. When I was worshiping with everybody, I really like Cindy's leading. I cannot see you guys. I can see her. At least she was very excited. She really, if I'm a non-believer, I'm a seeker today, I'm here, I look at her, wow, she really interacts with someone who is invisible, cannot be seen, but he is so real. I think our God is real God. He's a spirit, but you cannot see him. And that's the problem. And a lot of people go to church, they say, wow, how was the program? Oh, the lecture was okay, the food was excellent, but just don't understand why you guys constantly bow down your head and talk to someone you cannot see. And you call prayer. And that's the mystery, also that's a reality. Our God is real, but he is a spirit. You cannot see him with the naked eyes. But in your spirit, you can sense that, right? I believe many of you just now in worship, you were encouraged. Maybe you came, you were tired, you were discouraged. But because you engaged in fellowship with God, our God is a wonderful God. However, you had to experience him. Amen? You cannot just read from the Bible. You need to experience what the Bible says. And this morning, I will share with you a truth about God. First of all, I'd like to invite all of you to stand up. We'll read the scriptures. These scriptures are important. First is Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Let's read together, very short. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And then 2 Corinthians 13:14. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit with you all. Matthew 28:19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Remain standing for prayer. Father, we thank you for this morning. We can encounter you. We need to know you, know triune God. May your spirit come, reveal yourself to us through the word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We as a human being, we are finite. We live in the friend of time and space, right? I live in the friend of time, so our service will be concluded by 12:30. So I still have 45 minutes. I need to stick to that. And that this first service was concluded by 11, so I need to stick to that because we live in the time frame. Also, we live in the friend of space. I only can be here. I cannot be in Hawaii right now. I cannot be on the cruise right now because I can be one place, one time. Also, we have the finite mind. Let me ask you a question. How do you describe eternity? What does eternity mean? There's no answer. Silence. So everlasting to everlasting, the same thing. You just go around. Because we are limited by time. You talk to a person, he always wants to know when is the first, the origin and the end. In a sense, it's very hard to know God. He's infinite. He's eternal. What do you mean eternal? 10,000 years old? No, more than that. 1 million years old? No, more than that. So there's a difficulty there when you come to know God. If just by your reason, right? We thank God. Christianity is not a religion just by reason. is a religion by revelation. Hallelujah. Amen. Think about if this God, as he says in the Bible, is all-knowing, all-powerful, how we as a creature can know him unless he revealed himself to us. Amen. Praise the Lord. God gave us revelation about him. First, it's natural revelation, not revolution, sorry. It's through the nature he created. You look at this universe, you look at the heaven and earth, you realize they probably have a creator who is very creative, organized. Also, we have special revelation is the Bible that tell you what kind of God he is. How did this universe come from? How it will end? Also, we have another special revelation is Jesus. God the Son came to this world to show us who he is. So I think in order to know God, in order to know Christianity, it's very important. The concept has to be right. You need to know this is a faith of revelation. God revealed himself. God loved to reveal himself to you and me. That's very important. That's not only just for today to listen to this message. On your daily life, you need to have a treasure hunt to know what God tried to reveal to you every day, right? How many of you have a very fruitful week? Rather good week? Raise your hands. How many of you have very challenging weeks, very difficult week? So it can be both, right? I see some people raise twice. It's just two sides of a coin. But I think I encourage all of you, think about you interact with God in your daily life, in your business, in your marriage, in your family, what God tried to communicate to you, what God tried to reveal to you. If you do the daily devotion, you read the words, and then your real life, why I got a ticket? Ah, so bad, I got a ticket. I didn't say I got one. I give you as an example. It's pretty expensive nowadays. I think God tried to communicate something to you. Amen? So we need to walk with him. Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a relationship. We heard that all the time. But you do need to have a life relationship with God. Today I'm going to share with you a truth. It's very challenging to share because I myself don't understand holy. It's about a three-person God. I read systematic theology yesterday. I read so many pages. The more I read, the more confused I become. Because those theologians, they don't understand either. You know, they try to pretend they understand. They give the big words. But how can 1 + 1 + 1 equal to 1? It doesn't make sense to me. That's exactly the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, right? That's why Catholic Church, they do this all the time. They to remind you, it's the Trinity, triune God. But that's the God we believe in. That's why I said a foundation, it's a religion of revelation. You, by faith, you step in. When you pray, how do you know God listened to you? You cannot see him. Well, there's a lot of things you cannot see. You still believe it, right? We have a lot of basic faith. When you come today, you sit on the chair. Did you check, make sure the chair can hold you on? Maybe you gain weight. When you sit, may collapse. No, you're just a basic faith. You believe that, right? We're going to have a lunch. We order food from outside. How do you know that lunch is okay? It's not that healthy, but it's safe, right? It's basic faith. You need that. When you check in, when you fly away, you're going to travel. How do you know that flight will be safe? You see that Malaysia airline disappear. Now they cannot even figure out what's going on. We need to have some basic faith in the things in life. Also, we need some basic faith in God. So Bible says from faith to faith. You want to know God, you need to receive something. I think about the Trinity, about the doctrine, is something you need to have some basic faith. And God will reveal to us. And we just go through the journey together. First of all, maybe you ask, where does this truth come from? It really comes from the Bible. No one can create such a creative theory or truth. 1 + 1 + 1 equal to 3. How can be equal to 1? It's from the Bible. When you go to the Bible, you see that. Right in the beginning, in the book of Genesis, in the Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Actually, when you go to the Bible, you don't find the word Trinity there. But that truth has been progressively revealed to the reader. You go to the Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. It says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness." That's in the plural form. In verse 27, "So God created man in his own image," then becomes singular. So the first refers, implied three persons. Second, imply is one God. That's difficult. You will always have this difficulty, but you can receive. But in the Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, it says here, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God." The Lord is three? No, the Lord is one. It's a one God, three person. And then you come to the Gospel of John. Apostle John, in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning." So in the beginning, we don't know when was that. In the beginning, there was God the Father, and there was Word, Logos. God the Son were there. There are two of them. And when you go to the Gospel, full Gospel, you learn about the interaction between God the Father and God the Son. In the Gospel of John, chapter 14 to 17, you learn about Jesus, God the Son himself, talk about his relationship with God the Father, about his relationship with the Holy Spirit. Actually, he introduced the Holy Spirit to us. You want to know about the Holy Spirit, you go to the Gospel of John, chapter 14 to 17. It's very clearly. Also, when we read it just now, when Apostle Paul gave the blessing to the church Corinth, right? He mentioned, "May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father," in some version, "and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." When I just started to be a pastor, I had to memorize this. Make sure I say right. God the Son, the Father, and the Spirit. And also, what's the name of our church? Great Commission. In the Great Commission, the commandment, the verse 19 says, "Go, therefore, go and make disciple of all nations." When you go start to make a disciple, you need to baptize them in the name of Buddha, no. Confucius, no. In the name of Father, the Son, and the Spirit. You see, the triune God, the three person, was present very clearly right there in the Great Commission. This is very important. Three person, one God. So what does the true meaning? Okay, I go to the book about theology. They say it read like this. It means, if you don't understand, it's okay. It says the coexistence of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in unity of Godhead. The doctrine of Trinity means that within the being and activity of one God, there are three distinct persons, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Just like what I say earlier, the same thing. No matter how you say it, the one God, three person. One God, three person. For any school, any knowledge you want to know well, there's a key to that, right? You go home, you have a key to open the door. The thing is, nowadays they change the form of key so much. When you rent a car, the key doesn't look like the key. I remember last year, we went to the vacation, we rent a car. They give me something. They didn't give to me, they give to my son-in-law. So then we get into the minivan and say, "Where's the key?" And he give me, I say, "Is this the key?" I say, "Yes, you do this way, well, turn on." So it doesn't matter the shape. It does matter is the key or not, right? Our church has so many rooms, so many doors. Oh, every time I have to pull out the key. I need to label well. But the key is very important. How can we comprehend or accept by faith this doctrine of Trinity? There's a key. The number one key is the Son revealed the Father. I think that's very important. In John chapter 1, verse 18, it says, "No one has ever seen God, but God is one, and the only one is at the Father's side has made him known." Do you see? When we believe in God, it takes a lot of faith. Have you ever seen God? Marlene, have you seen God? You're a pastor wife. Annie, have you seen God? This is a tricky question. You can say, no, I didn't see him with my naked eyes, but I have seen him with my faith, eyes of my faith. I sense him. Otherwise, you won't be here. Why do you serve the Lord if you cannot see him? We say seeing is believing. I think a lot of things you don't see it, you still believe it. Amen? Can you see love? You can see love expressed, but you cannot see really, oh, this is a love. But you believe in love, right? But we praise the Lord. We cannot see God, the Father. Because based upon the Bible, he's up in the third heaven. He's glorious. He is holy. Holy, holy, holy. One of the God's attributes is holiness. Holiness doesn't mean lack of sin, or absence of sin. Holiness means supreme. It's so high up there. As you listen to someone's music, they're playing, or you see the paint, modern art. Sometime in the past, I went to see the modern art. I didn't know what does that mean. I see a lot of people pretend, say, oh, supreme, so good. But what does that mean? We don't know. It's abstract. It's whatever you feel, your thought. But that's not holiness. The true holiness is supreme. It's a very high in every way, in character, in skill, in every way. Our God the Father is holy. He's up in third heaven. We cannot see him. But the Bible says, John chapter 1, verse 8, say, but the Son revealed him. Praise the Lord, right? He came to this world. As a man lived among us. There's a wonderful movie called Son of God. How many of you have seen that recently? I think it's a good movie. I heard a comment that Jesus is too handsome. You know, just listen to that comments. That shows it's very hard to know God. People are just always limited by external, right? Oh, Jesus is handsome. Jesus is tall. Jesus is too skinny. Jesus too look like Caucasian. Jesus look like Chinese. They always kind of bombard with hourly. Hard to know God. But no matter how, Jesus revealed God the Son to us. Jesus revealed God the Father to us. One time, Jesus and his disciple Philip together. He said, Philip asked Jesus, say, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. He was very excited. You talk about the Father all this time. Show us God the Father. Jesus kind of discouraged. He said, disappointed. He said, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Then Jesus started to explain to him, the Father is in me and I am Father. So I want to ask you, who is in who? Jesus is in Father and the Father is in Jesus. Who is in who? Ricky, who is in who? So you see that they are in the one Godhead. They are one. This is very important. Christina and Luke, you're going to be joined together very soon, right? What's the date? What time? 1 o'clock, very important. April 12, 1 p.m. You know, when two people become one, the first thing they had to learn, it's not yours, mine, it's ours. That's me, you are in me and I in you. You cannot say, please clean out your dirty laundry. No, it's our dirty laundry. Amen? It's the unity. Well, the more you start to learn about the Trinity, you see that the Son and the Father is the one. And the Father knows people cannot see him, so he sent his Son to come to reveal himself. Secondly, we see the key is to know the triune God, the Trinity, is the Holy Spirit revealed the Son. Okay, now we have the Son. We have Jesus came. But when did Jesus come? About 2,000 years ago, right? Have you ever seen Jesus? only in picture. We're even not too sure that picture is accurate, right? We have never seen Jesus in person. Amen? We have never listened to him. Unfortunately, in those days, there's no recording, so we can listen to him talk on Sermon on Mount, right? He taught a lot. We cannot. So how can we know this Jesus? The Bible tells us it's through the Spirit, through the Holy Spirit. Actually, Jesus taught that in Gospel of John, chapter 14 to 17. The disciple, Jesus told them, I'm leaving you. Disciples feel very discouraged, very sad. And Jesus says, don't feel sad. It's good for me to leave. When I leave, I'll send you a counselor, a comforter, advocate, someone with the same accent like me, but that he will take care of you. And Jesus also told them, this Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, come, will reveal all my teaching to you, will reveal about me. So Holy Spirit is the one really help us to know Jesus. This is very important, dear brothers and sisters. When you approach the Word, when you try to know God, you cannot just by your reason only, because your reason is finite. There's a many knowledge in this world you don't know at all, right? The expert come, they can show you, but you still don't know. Because we said finite mind and reason. But when you come to know Jesus, you need the revelation, you need the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Because in the Gospel of John, it says very clearly, the Spirit of truth comes, he will lead you into all truth. He will reveal about Jesus to you and me. So I think it's very important when you read the Bible, when you start to read, to know Jesus, you need the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Not only to know Jesus in your daily life. Amen? Before you do anything, you pray to God. You say, Lord, should I do this or not? There's a hero, my hero in the Old Testament. One of the heroes is David, King David. I tell you, this man is a very special person. He wasn't perfect. He committed sin too. But he followed the Lord every way. He was expert in fighting. Even in fighting, he asked the Lord, should I pursue them or not? The Lord said, yes, you should. And how should I pursue them? Should I go straight or go around? The Lord instructing everything he had a victory. Same thing in our life. Not only just to know the Son through the Spirit, also you know about your life, about your investment, about your next step, about decision. You need to ask the Holy Spirit, the counselor, the advisor. He will advise you if you're willing to ask. A lot of people say, oh, I already asked, but I have never heard anything. People ask me, does God speak in Shanghainese or Cantonese or English? What's your answer? Or Spanish? God can speak all the language, right? God will communicate to you in the language you understand. Don't worry about that. Amen? We thank God he doesn't need a translator. You can speak whatever language you are in. He will communicate in a way you understand. I think the key is not whether you understand or not. The key is you're willing to find out God's will or not. Amen? If you don't want to listen, he won't tell you. A lot of people say, Pastor Joseph, I don't know what should I do with these things. My answer is, what is the last time you heard from the Lord? If God tells you something, he did not to entertain you. He wants you to follow. Amen? If you want to find out what God's will for current situation, you need to go back to the last time when you heard the Lord. God very clearly asks you, have you obeyed or not? Amen? Is that practical? So we see, come to this second one. The key to know the triune God is the Holy Spirit revealed the Son. So based upon the key one and key two, we find out the key of the keys. To know the Son is the key. If you want to know this invisible God, you need to know God the Son. Because God the Son reveals the Father's heart, reveal what God was doing. And God the Spirit revealed God the Son. So if you know the Son, you know Jesus Christ, you know them all. You know one God all. Amen? This is very important. This is the key. So what kind of insights we have from the truth of Trinity? It's so hard to understand, so vague, but yet so practical. The first, I like to share a few reality about this triune God. The first is about the creation. In the creation, not only God the Father there, right? Gospel of John chapter 1 say the Son was there. Genesis chapter 1 verse 2, it tells us the Spirit was there. God the Spirit was there. All of them were there. They create the heavens and the earth. The Father declared the Son as the wisdom, as the thought about, and the Spirit prepared the way. The Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, the Spirit hover over the water, prepare the way for creation. Okay, this may be still very vague. Let's think about redemption. So who came to this world? Jesus, right? Jesus is the second person of Godhead. God the Son came to this world. But in the gospel, you see that the Son and the Father interact all the way, right? They talk to each other. Jesus went out, woke up very early in the morning. He went to the wilderness to pray to the Father, right? Also, Jesus taught on the truth about the Spirit. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit, right? And he was filled with the Spirit. Then he went to the wilderness being tempted by Satan. Then he was anointed by the Spirit to do the sign and wonder, right? So they work together for this redemption, for this salvation for you and me. Another example, another reality is very clear in the Jesus baptism. When Jesus was baptized at the Jordan River, by whom? John the Baptist. There are two Johns, right, in the New Testament. One is the John, the Apostle John. Another is John the Baptist. When he was baptized by the John the Baptist, what's happened? Yeah. Okay, let's read a scripture together. Let me read to you. It's a Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 to 17. It says, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And the voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love, with him I'm well pleased. In Jesus' baptism, that's very important, we can see the Father, the Spirit, and the Son all together. It's a confirmation. This is the Son of God. So based upon the three facts, the reality I share with you in the creation, in the redemption, in Jesus' baptism, we see something, the insights from the truth of Trinity. The first is the diversity and unity. Nowadays, we want a diversity. We want a multiple. We want a different kinds. That's no problem. But the heart is what? It's a unity, right? How many of you here are married? Raise your hands. Do you think it's easy to have unity among husband and wife? No answer. Sometimes. How can we have a unity? Do you think that usually, based upon my experience, husband and wife, usually they are very different, very opposite. You usually marry someone who compliments you, have some uniqueness that you don't have. But when in the loving days, in the day you pursue that person, it's beautiful. It's the same thing. The person is very spontaneous. I love it. I love him. He is so spontaneous. He surprised me all the time. After you marry, I hate him. Not organized. Totally chaotic situation. The same person. But how come before I love it spontaneously, but now just out of control? If you are very organized, you plan everything. You want to know when to eat, when to go to bed, exactly according to the time. Another person spontaneously. He just come in and go like a wing. How can we have a unity? Look at the triune God. They do have a unity. That's inspiration to us. We as a church have two groups. One's Mandarin speaking, one's English speaking. It's not just a difference of language, different of way to operate things, many things. How can we have a unity? We need to have the same vision on the back of bulletin. We need to build out a kingdom culture. What is the kingdom? Amen? Husband, wife, I tell you, the way to have a unity is the kingdom culture. You go to the Sermon on the Mount, you start to study. We need to be meek. We need to be humble. And in the triune God, we see that the second insight we see is the excellent interpersonal relationship. Three persons, they interact with each other well. That's why they can do things together. Thirdly, is the mutual love and honor for one another. That's very important. God the Son honor the Father. He said, the Son doesn't do anything unless he see the Father does it. The Son doesn't say anything unless he hear Father says. That's a quiet surrender, honor. Also, the Father honor the Son, give all the authority to him. And the Son depend upon the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit, right? They honor each other. They mutually honor and love each other. Dear brother and sister, if we want to have a true unity, we need to lay down ourselves. And that's the most challenging thing, almost unlikely, impossible thing. But with God, everything is possible. That's why you believe in supernatural God. We need a supernatural move of the Lord in our life. Amen? The words is very important. It's a mutual. And that's the problem comes. The wife say, if my husband willingly to lay down his life like Christ died for the church, I have no problem submit to him. Right? The wife say that. The husband say, if my wife unconditionally submit to my authority, to me as the head of the household, I have no problem. I can go to the cross to crucify for him, for her. Who should take the first step? See? Okay. Cindy, what's your view? Who should take the
first step? I think the head of the household should take the first step. Amen? Amen.
Do you have any biblical scripture support?
Yeah, because Jesus is the church, head of the church, and he sacrificed his life for the church. And so the husband is the head of the household. He should sacrifice his life for his family, okay, too. Thank you.
I see the point. You know, what Cindy said in the real life, that's exactly some wives say that. I think that according to the truth, that's yes. But what if the husband doesn't want to lay down life? The problem is always there. So whenever two parties try to say who go first, you see the problem already there. Right? It's a mutually love and honor each other. It's not mutually keep each other to follow the law. You do first, okay? You die for me. I'll surrender to you. You surrender to me. So whenever I come to that stage, there's no love there. If you go to study the scripture, you find out the three persons, God the Father and the Son and the Spirit, they love, selfless love, and mutually honor each other. And finally, it's a teamwork. We all know that. It's not just by one person. It's three persons. They work together. And for this morning, we have worship here. It's a teamwork. Our two sisters led the worship. We have people in charge of usher. For people to be a service leader. And in the meantime, we have equipping class for the Mandarin-speaking people. We have for the children, etc. It's a teamwork. Amen? We all know that. We all know that by here, but we actually, to become a team, we need to learn from the triune God. They do have unity in diversity. They do have excellent interpersonal relationship. I think we have to learn this, right? In order to have a good relationship, communication is very important. In order to have a good communication, we need to know another party's cultural background and the values. But when we all come together to become kingdom values, we do have one in your bulletin. Can you turn with me the kingdom value? Our MCD announced this part. Let's put three there. Let's build kingdom culture lifestyle. Number one, daily devotion. If we fill our mind with the promise, the positive thing, that's the word of God, with our mind, you become positive. Amen? You will have hope. Even sometimes the word convict us about something we had done was wrong. That was very positive. Because you will go from the wrong to right. Amen? Also, most of the time, like Psalm 68, King David wrote, "Arise, God. Arise, God. Defeat those enemies who pursue me, those against you." You can pray about that. You read that scripture. Dear brothers and sisters, first of all, God has to arise within us. God has to arise in our circumstance. Amen? When you read that, you pray in the Spirit, you feel being encouraged. You feel the Spirit of the Lord fill you. The second kingdom culture thing is start and conclude each day with thanksgiving and prayer. What are you usually doing when you wake up every day? What is your first thing you do? Luke, I want to ask you. I know you are a very organized person. You plan everything. What do you do every day when you start a day? You wake up. Drink water. Okay? Next time, before you drink water, I encourage you to do, you just praise God. A lot of people say, Pastor Joseph, I cannot praise God. I will wait until I'm in the mood to praise God. I tell you, you are never in the mood to praise God. The enemy knows that. He always makes something happen. You are in the bad mood. I tell you, you just praise God. Why do you need to praise? Praise God, you're still alive. If you didn't sleep well, praise God, I didn't sleep well. Now I can understand those people who cannot sleep well. You appreciate those days you sleep well. Amen? If you sleep wonderful, you say, praise the Lord, now I can work now. How many of you have work, have to work every Monday? Thank God for the work. You know, I went to Ranch 9 Shopping Center. Every time I talk with the owner of the restaurant, I say, how is business? He says, oh, so busy. I say, be thankful, you are very busy. Sometimes he says, it's so slow. I say, be thankful, it's slow. Because you can rest a little bit. You can reflect upon your menu. It's good. Your service is good. Now, you know, when we start a day with thanksgiving, your whole mood, your spirit change. Amen? I didn't invent this in the Bible. Praise the Lord. Praise. Sometimes, why should we praise? It's a lousy day. Why should I praise? Yeah, the day is lousy as long as your perspective is lousy. Somebody answer now. Dear brother and sister, everything has two sides. We choose the bright side. Amen? If God is negative, he will never send his son. It's lousy enough, sinful. He sent his son to come to this world. He's so positive. He's optimistic because we have potential. We praise God. We give thanks. We start a day. And after the whole day, you go to sleep. Before you go to sleep, if you go to sleep, conclude with the praise and thanksgiving, you will sleep. More likely, you'll sleep well. If you complain, then you might have nightmare. All the complaining come in. It's not threatening. It's your thought. Amen? It's more than thought. It's a spirit. God will not be with a person so negative all the time. He cannot. It stink. The spirit may be a smell. But if you rejoice, because in the Bible say that, God dwell among his people's praise. He make a throne there. So you start a day, you conclude a day with praise, thanksgiving. That's a kingdom culture. Number three, actively share your testimony in your circle of influence. I think when God bless you, you actively to share your faith grow. Amen? We need to share our faith. And actually, there's a fourthly being put there because we didn't figure out, we don't know how to figure out that. I encourage all of you, we have a new schedule. What time is the English service now? It's 11:15. I encourage you to come at 11:10. 5 minutes early, you sit here, you quiet down yourself, be ready. Amen? If anything needs help, you can help. May the Lord bless us. May the Lord bless us to know Him. He is a triune God. He, in the diversity, has a unity. He interact, three persons interact with each other well. They mutually love and honor one another, and then work together as a wonderful team. That's why we have salvation. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you love us. Three persons, but one God. Work together as a perfect team to save us, to redeem us, to lead us. Lord, may your Spirit inspire us, open our heart to see how can we follow you, imitate you. May you bless us for our discipleship as we continue. We pray it's more than just information. It will lead to life transformation. May today's message encourage all of us to know you more. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. We can grow our worship.